Hello, this is Gideon Rothstein, and this is Perek Zion, the final chapter, the seventh and final chapter of the book of Micha and the OU Project's Nachyomi Project. Let me, because I always forget to close off Svarim with words of closure and ending, so let me now first thank you for joining me and listening in to this project. I encourage and hope that you will share with me your thoughts and feelings, criticism, questions, critiques. grothst@gmail.com is my email, grothst@gmail.com. I will be back for, God willing, the books of Nachum, Habakkuk, and Tzefanya, so this is not a farewell by me, it's just that I wanted to remember to note this is the final chapter of Micha, and while much of it is a complaint, there is also at the end words of comfort, so there is that balance in Micha that we've been noticing before, that while he is clear and strong in the need for punishment and in the level of wrongdoing found among the people, is at the same time, and perhaps, I mean, it's true of Yeshayahu and Yirmiyahu as well, but since Micha has only seven chapters, it is perhaps easier to see it. He also does it within a perek very often. This balance between the two elements and two aspects of Nivuah. So he opens now with a personal lament. He says, Alelai li ki hayiti ki ospe kayitz ki ololot batzir en eshkol le'achol bikura iveta nafshi. Says, so, Alali is woe is me, right? It's terrible for me, because I am, so ospe kayitz are the leftovers of the summer harvest. Kelolot batzir, the gleanings when the vintage is over, meaning the leftovers in the field that nobody bothered to take. That's what he's comparing himself to. And there is no eshkol, there's no real good bunch of grapes to eat, bikura yivitanafshi, or a ripe fig, a ripe fruit that he would really want. So, what's he talking about? So, Pasuk Bet will tell us a little bit more. Pasuk Bet says, Avad chasid min ha'aretz, there are no more righteous people in the land, v'yashar ba'adamai, and there are no even honest people, right? Yashar, straight, forward people. Kulam ledamim ya'arov, they're all longing for blood. Ishet achiyu yatsudu cherem, they are all hunting each other, trying to trap each other. And we'll go on to what they're trying to trap in a minute. But Rashi and Radak have different perspectives of what the Navi is doing here. So Alalai is an expression of sadness. So the Radak takes, I think, the simpler version. He says that it's a cry. He quotes his brother Moshe saying it's a cry. L'shen yilala. And what it means is, it's terrible for me of all the evils that the Jewish people are doing, because they're not going to listen to me, and God is going to punish them, and I'm going to have to, you know, bear and see. I don't know if he's not going to physically see it, because it's going to be after his time, but I'm going to have to know that they're going to bear the punishment. So it's just an expression of his pain at being around to witness this, and at his confidence or his sadness that he will be futile, he will not be able to succeed in getting them to change their ways. And then the rest of the thing is, right, he's like an Aspe Kayetz, he's like the Nishara Shech Achar Shalakdu, he's like the leftovers after the harvest, and there's nobody good to eat, so Eshkol, meaning there's no good chassid in the land, like you have in Pasuk Bet, and there's no righteous and worthwhile people, and therefore what's going to happen is, we're going to get to what's going to happen in a second. And that, I think, that the advantage of the Radak's reading it that way is that you can imagine that that's still part of a nevuah. It's the Navi talking in a personal vein, but it could be part of a nevuah that came from Hashem to say this or to speak this way. Rashi personalizes it a little bit more than that. Rashi says, "Hanavi mekonin al atzmo." The Navi is lamenting for himself. Oyli shehu amadati lenavi ba'eta zot. Shem b'nei adam tzadikim bador. How terrible it is for me that I've been made a Navi in this generation where there are no tzadikim in the generation, and it's just all leftovers, and much of the rest of is the same. But what Rashi's interpretation raises the question of, does that mean that the Navi inserts into books of Nevuah just personal comments, and those are not Nevuah? Well, I suspect that wouldn't be true, or I think that wouldn't be true. I think what Rashi means is that Hashem gave him the inspiration to write this. But it also highlights for us, see, but in the Radak's reading of it, it was just a question of he's just upset, he's just sad. What Rashi points out also is that there is a certain interplay between a Navi and his generation. And the Navi, And I think we'll see this in the book of Habakkuk as well, who's a Navi. We saw it in the book of Yoel, who was a Navi in the time of Menashe, was the tradition, and we'll see it in the book of Habakkuk also, who's a Navi in the time of Menashe. So being in such an evil time seems to have impacted the kinds of nevuot that they gave. And then the Rashi's saying that the kinds of nevuot you give and the kinds of success you have are a function of the door of the generation in which you're born. And it's not just a question of if you're a great Navi and you do your job well and you're a great individual in your job, then everything will be, then you'll have success. And I guess I noticed that because we live in a society where that aspect of the interplay is not always recognized, right? You can be the most brilliant businessman in the world. So in our society, we sort of think if you're really a brilliant businessman, if you're really good at it, if you're really smart at it, then you'll be successful. I once had a firm guy, a guy who's legitimately orthodox and interested and thinks about Torah and thinks about Kadosh Baruch Hu, and yet he still said, if you're the best businessman is the one who will make the most money. And I said, we were having a Shabbos table conversation. And I said, there are so many factors that go into it. It might be that you're a very good businessman, but other factors get in the way. He said, nope, not true. If you're great, the greater the businessman you are, the more money you make. So I think that's a very American attitude. I think that's very much what the Western world tends to think, but I think it's absolutely not true. I think that it's complicated interplay between various factors in terms of who has success in life and who doesn't have success in life, and I think that, at least part of what Rashi is pointing out to us here, that Micha pauses towards the end of his Sefer, and he says, Alulayli, it's terrible for me, I'm stuck in a generation where there's nobody who's a chassid, there's nobody who's interested, there's nobody who's ready for righteousness, and that's going to impact my situation. Now, what is their central crimes that here Micha is coming back to? Again, we've seen it before. It's their lack of honesty, their lack of straightforwardness, their interest in cheating other people. Now, the Pasuk says, in Pasuk Bet, Ishad Achihu Yatsudu Cherem. So, Ishad Achihu, the English that I have in front of me, says, one traps the other in his net. So that is a good translation, I think, because it's important. I don't think that when Micha says Ishad Achihu, he means that they think of themselves as brothers to each other. It's one to the other. But the word in Hebrew for the other is Achihu. Now, part of what that's supposed to be, I think, is that the Hebrew language wants us to notice that other people are our brothers, and therefore we should treat them that way. And if we did treat them that way, it would be that much harder for us to imagine cheating them and trying to trap them in our traps. Part of what allows us to cheat others is that we don't think of them as people that we have to care about, as people who are our brothers. And so that's what's going on. There's a breakdown in the sense of society. I'm just reading something else which pointed out that part of the function of law in a country like the United States of America is that you have people who are strangers to each other, and therefore they can't be sure that they won't be cheated. They can't be sure that they won't be treated well, and that's part of the function of law, is to allow complete strangers to interact and to feel the safety and security of law ensuring that they won't be taken advantage of in those kinds of ways. But the fact that you need law for that is already a little bit of a problem. It means that we can't trust each other. And so then there's whole discussions about places where people can perhaps trust each other, and that's a different conversation. But here in this society that Micha is facing, people could not trust each other. Pasuk Gimel al harak apayim lehitiv, hashar shoel v'ashofet bashilum v'agadol dover havat nafsho hu v'yabituha. So al harak apayim lehitiv is that the people who are doing evil are always trying to find better ways to do evil. They're trying to improve their evil, and to get even more money out of it, right? So the Radak says, "Alarai yinu da'atam alarashir v'kapehem lehidivo ulechazko," to do it better and to strengthen it. And then hasar shoel, the officers ask shochad, bribes, v'hashofet, and the shofet says, v'hashofet bashilum, the shofet says to his friend the judge, you know, it would be akin to, and we know this, that's why I'm going to use the example, it would be akin to the way the Radak reads it, if you fix this ticket for me, right, you're a traffic court judge, fix this ticket for me, and I'll fix, when you come before me with a civil case, because I'm a civil court judge, or I'll give you a lenient sentence when you come before me in a criminal case. So we know of such things. We know of these kinds of reciprocal arrangements that people make to get a better deal. Right, to get a better result out of the court system. But it is a perversion of the court system. Right, the court system is supposed to be, you do something wrong, you get a certain kind of punishment. And it's not because that's supposed to affect it. But that's exactly the situation that Pasuk Gimel is describing. The Radak adds an interesting part of it. Hasar Shaweli says the officer asks. He says, "Ki lo yishal ha-melech shochad b'fiv, ki yitbayesh mize." The king won't ask for a bribe because it's embarrassing. So the Tsar will ask on behalf of the king. In other words, though, the king is in favor of looking for bribes, looking for money, and is willing to curry favors for that. It's just beneath him to actually do it. It would be similar to, not that such a thing could happen, but if somebody met, you know, a person from a large corporation that has a lot of money, and so it would be beneath a candidate for office to ask for the exact campaign contribution, but he might leave it to his flunky. And then the understanding, of course, would be that when legislation comes before everybody that affects this corporation, since this corporation is now a big contributor to this person's campaign, of course he'll understand that their needs are very important needs. Would never be a bribe like that, but it would never be said like that, but that's, of course, what's going on. So the Radak is taking this portrayal in Micha and I think making it come alive in very real ways, right? And all of these people give judgment, according to Rashi and Radak, right? Hagadol dover b'havat nafshi, what they want. And vayabetua means, and they strengthen it, they bind it together, they like weave it together into stronger and stronger strands, and it's tripled, the Radak says, so that it is very strengthened, meaning it's a very strong aspect of this society. So we, of course, live in the United States of America where nothing like this could possibly happen. Perhaps people think that. But I think when I read these psukim, we see this, and this is, got to remember, and it's not just the Micha saying, and this should deserve to be changed, or it would be nice if we could come to a better idea or a better way of handling things. Micha saying these are the fundamental reasons that he qualifies the land, he describes the land as completely lacking in justice. So that's a much deeper indictment, that's a much deeper problem than just, it would be nice if we changed our ways. As far as Micha is concerned, and B'Shem Hashem, this is so problematic that is really the definition of him living in a generation that doesn't have anybody good in it. Pasuk Dalet Tovam Kechedek Yasharim Mesucha Yom Mitzapecha Pekudatcha Va'a Atatiyeh Mevuchatam. The best of them, and so this Rashi and Radak and the English in front of me all agree about what the literal meaning is, which makes a certain chazal that I'll tell you in a second very interesting. The literal meaning is, the best of them is like a thorn. And it's hard to get away, meaning it's hard to get away from them. The most upright from them is worse than a wall of thorns. That'll be, once you get stuck in them, you can't extricate yourself so easily. And then, you're going to expect, Yom Mitzapecha B'Gudatcha Va'a, is that part of the, I think it's a tragedy, part of the tragedy of societies like this and of people like this is that they expect that everything's going to go well for them. They don't even see that, right? That's the worst level of it, that you don't even see that it's a problem. One level is, you know that it's a problem. So let's take a simple example. You know, many of us, perhaps, know that we're overweight, and therefore eating junk food is bad for us. So as we eat that chocolate bar or whatever our weakness is, we know we're not doing the right thing, but we're having a hard time struggling with it. But at least we know we're not doing the right thing. Or we yell at our children. And we know it's wrong. Or we get angry. And we know that anger is a terrible midah, a terrible trait. We get angry, and we know that it's wrong. So we're fighting against it. That's one level. But what we're talking about here is a society in which they don't even see it at all. They think that everything's fine. Right? And they think that they're doing the right thing. And therefore, Yom Mitzapecha, the day that you're waiting for, what's the day they're waiting for? So the Nevi'e Shekhar, the Radak says, would promise you great things are coming, and you see your future in a bright and rosy way. And instead, what will happen is you're going to get the repayment for your sin, and there's going to be mevucha. You're going to be all confused and all upset because you're not going to understand how it came to you this way. Radak thinks it's particularly the Nevi'e Shekhar who will be in a mevucha, who will be so confused. But I can imagine that everybody will be, because none of them understand that this kind of, they see this little thing, so I fix a ticket for you, so you this, so I cheat a little bit of money, it's a dollar here, a dollar there, what's the big deal? So we don't think of it as a big deal, and then when all of a sudden it comes back to punish us, we have a problem. Chazal record a story in which, in Eruv, in Dafkuf Aleph Amid Aleph, in which a heretic says to Rabbi Yeshua, "You're a thorn." How does he know he's a thorn? He says, because the pasuk says, "Tovam kechedek." So even if you're the best of them, he says to Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya, that means you're a thorn. So Rabbi Yeshua ben Chananya says, "What are you talking about? You don't even know how to read a pasuk at all, because it says in the next words, 'Yashar mimisucha,' the righteous of them are even better than a mizbechah or something like that. So Rabbi Yoshua ben Chanani says that's not what the pasuk means at all. What it means is that the righteous among the Jewish people are like thorns, that they stand in the face of breaks in the barrier. Meaning in those days, if you had a wall that was broken through, you could often just put up a, you could put some thorns there, you could plant some thorn bushes there, and that would also effectively keep things out. And so too, the rights to the Jewish people serve that kind of a protective function. What's interesting about the comment about the interpretation of Rabbi Yoshua ben Chanani, so it was done under the pressure of dealing with a heretic, and maybe that's why he did it, but it subverts the pasuk to some extent, because in the pasuk it would seem clear that that's not what it means. But it's saying that when the pasuk says tovam kechedak, it's assuming that it's true in the literal sense, but it's also true inherently, because that's part of what is so multi-layered about nevuah, about prophecy, is that even if it has a particular interpretation, it also has the other interpretations that need to be paid attention to. So here it would say that the idea of being thorns and of being a wall of thorns has a value that will extend beyond when it has its own, it loses its literal meaning of being a time of being a description of how bad the Jewish people are. So this is what happens. You start out just cheating those who aren't, as we would call them, uns, right? Those who aren't us, those who aren't our types. So that's who you first cheat, right? You meet strangers and you cheat them. I just started reading a book by Dave Eggers called What is the What?, which is supposed to be about some of the experiences of Sudanese refugees who suffered in Sudan and the various troubles going on there, and then they get away, and it's supposed to be about their lives a little bit. So he puts it in the mouth of this Sudanese guy, but one of the first scene in the book that I just started is about where this Sudanese guy is in Atlanta, and then he gets robbed by African Americans. And they, you know, they see him as not part of them, and therefore they rob him. And this is one of the key issues about theft and about robbery and about mistreating others, is that it's not true ish et achi. We don't generally rob our brothers, because they're our brothers. So those with whom we feel a brotherly connection, we don't rob. It's those who are other than us. But it leads to pasuk hey, al taminu v'rei al tiftichu be'aluf mishochav echegecha shemor pitrei picha. You can't any longer trust your friends. You can't look on those you think you're intimate with, you think you're friendly with. Mishochav echegecha, so literally means your wife. Shemor pitrei picha, don't tell her intimate secrets of yours. And the reason is that you have to worry that she will reveal those secrets to others. She will use that information against you. So the Radak gives an example. You'll speak to her about somebody else. You'll speak Lashon Hara to them, but to her, and she will carry that Lashon Hara to them. So how could that happen? So Rashi points out that the Chazal understood this as being about your relationship with Hashem, and therefore you can't trust anybody to protect you from Hashem knowing about your evil things, and Mishochav Chekecha would be a reference to your soul. And there's a Gemara in Chagiga that in Daftet Zayin Amud Aleph, which has the same thing, that Rav Yudah Bar Rav Nachmani had a drasha Miturgam Eneder, who was the Miturgam on Reish Lakish. Why does Saltimina Berea? If your Yitzhar tells you sin and Hashem will forgive you for it, that's a lot of times what we say to ourselves. Oh, Hashem won't care if I do this, Hashem won't care if I do that. Yeah, it's a little thing, or it's a big deal. Don't believe it. And the Reya is the Yetzer Hara. So that's obviously not the literal meaning of it, but it's trying to make the point that once, I think it's trying to build off the point that when you try to assume that you have a comfort zone in which it's okay to be wrong and do the wrong thing, that's a problem. So while I cheat those far away from me, I have a home family who will take care of me, and that is what is not going to be true, and that's part of what happens. When you destroy a society in terms of its trust of each other, then you've done it. Because sons will turn against their fathers, daughters against their mothers, daughters-in-law against their mothers-in-law, the members of one's household will turn against him, and sadly, we do see this, it happens with children, and it happens with families, have breakdowns of these things, and it's a terrible tragedy. Pasuk Zayin Michas therefore says, "Vani b'Hashem atzapeh ochilo elokei ishi, yishma'eni elokai." The only real salvation, source of comfort, source of true trust that we can turn to. So this is what the Navi says. That's who, even though the Jewish people, the Redax says, even though the Jewish people are going to go into exile and they're going to be punished for their sins, the Navi is telling them or speaking in their voice, giving them the words to understand that their only source of trust is Hashem. I would just point out the Pasuk Vav, when it says Ki ben minam be'al-av, so that is the source for a Mishnah in Sota that talks about that we've mentioned on other occasions that says when Mashiach is about to come, be'ikvot Mashiach, and the times and the footprints of the Mashiach, chutzpah yazga, there'll be a lot of chutzpah in the world, and many terrible things will happen. Among the terrible things will happen is Ne'arim p'nei zekinim yalbinu, the elderly will have to stand before the young. They'll have to show respect to the young. And quotes our Pasuk of Ben Min Abel Av. So that is an overturning in Navi and in Mishnayos' understanding of it. We're supposed to understand that the elderly have the accumulated wisdom of their lives and we're supposed to learn from them. We see this to some extent today. I'm not even saying that this part of it is a bad thing, but certainly in the business world today, there's a greater incidence than there used to be of young people taking over things and being put in charge of corporations and of companies and of startups and of this and of that. There's a whole sense that what is needed is newness and is freshness, and that's what's desired, that's what's sought after, and the reliance on wisdom and experience is much less than it was once upon a time, and that is what's going on. So we're going to turn to Hashem. Well, that's what we're being told we're supposed to do. Pasuk Chet, Al Tismichi Oyavti Li, my enemy. Don't be happy, Kinafalti Kamti, because even though I'm going to have fall before you, this is Micha now addressing the enemy who will take us into exile, whoever that will be. So for the northern kingdom, Ashur, for the southern kingdom, Bavel. Even though I fall and I'm in exile, I am going to again arise, because what Hashem says is going to be. So the Radak points out when it says Kamti, I've already arisen, he says because Hashem has promised it. So once Hashem has promised it, it's as if it's already come true. So Ki Nafalti Kamti is, don't worry that I've fallen because I'm going to get up again. Ki Eshev B'choshech Hashem Orli. Even though I will spend some time sitting in the dark and having trouble, Hashem will be my light. So that, and now we go on with that whole idea. Zaf Hashem Esa Ki Chatati Lo, I will have to bear the anger of Hashem because I have sinned against him. Ad Hashem Yariv Reviva Samishpati Yotzieni La Rebbe Tzikato. Until the time as Hashem turns around and picks the time that it's time for Hashem to fight my battles for me again and to do my, to claim, make my claims against those who have punished me and take me out to the light, and I'll see God's righteousness. V'tere Ov Yavti Utchaseha Bevusha Hamra Elai Ayo Hashem Elokayich. So my enemy, those who have taken me to exile, will then see that God has taken me out to great light, and they will have, be embarrassed, right? Boshet, they will have embarrassment from what they used to say was that, how, why would you think that God's going to save you? Where is this God of yours? If God really cares about you. So that idea of Boshet is one that I haven't stressed in our shiurim yet, I think, but I think is one that we don't even focus on. There's going to be, Micha is telling us, a sense of embarrassment by those who claim to us that our God wasn't special, that we didn't have a special relationship with Hashem, and they'll see us being taken out, and they'll be embarrassed by that. So, I don't know that this will happen, but it will be interesting to wonder whether what Micha is predicting is something along the lines of that the Christian world will have to say, you know, we were wrong all those years. We claim that we had a new revelation, we had a this, we had a that, it changed this, it that, and there will come a point where they'll have to fully admit to having been wrong. So that would be a striking, remarkable thing to see. It seems like that is part of what Micha is claiming, because while it was mostly the Catholic Church, but it is true that for years and years and years, the Catholic Church would use us and look at us as witnesses, bearing testimony to the our failure to accept their vision of this new idea, this new covenant, this new whatever. So Micha here is saying, whoever took us into exile and did this to us is going to have the embarrassment of recognizing that she was wrong and that we were right, and then it's going to become like a mirmas, like a stepping stone for us to go back to where we're going to rebuild. Yom livnot b'dayrayach, yom ahu yirchak chok. It's going to be a day for mending our walls. I think for rebuilding, our rebuilding our cities and keeping out those who would try to come and trample us, and that's going to be a faraway day. Yom hu v'adecha yavo l'mini ashur v'arei matzor l'mini matzor v'ad nahar v'yam miyam v'har hahar. Right, so in that day, it's going to come and people are going to come, try to come to us from all around, and from all the seas and all the mountains, and the land is going to become desolate because of all those who are dwelling in it, and that's going to be the punishment for what they did wrong, meaning the land of the enemies are going to be overrun in these times. Right, so meaning that these psukim are telling us that the Jews will have a chance to rebuild and strengthen their walls and their cities so they don't get trampled anymore by the people coming by. But in that day, there will be a day when Vadecha Yavo to them, to Ashur, and they will become Ari Matzor, Alimin Matzor, to Ashur and the towns of Egypt, and from Egypt into the Euphrates, all over, from sea to sea and mountain to mountain, and they're going to be completely trampled, meaning getting the end and the punishment and the result that we had had for all those years. Pasuk Yudalad Re'ei Amcha B'Shivtecha Tzon Nachalatecha Shochni Levadad Ya'ar B'toch Karmel Yir'u Vashan V'Gilad Kimei Olam. So the people is going to, we Re'ei Amcha B'Shivtecha, this is a call to Hashem to shepherd us with his staff, that we should be as his sheep. So the whole image of us as sheep is a passive one, is an idea that we're going to just benefit from Hashem's goodness without us doing very much to get it. And that's one possibility of how all this can work. And that when Hashem takes us out of exile, and like a shepherd, so he's going to establish us, this is the hope, he's going to establish us, if all of the enemies have been trampled and destroyed, then we will be sort of like alone in the area. We'll be living alone, and we'll be in woodland, surrounded by farmland, and we'll have a lot of grazing land and Bashan and Gilad, like it was in times gone by. So whether you have to apply this literally, that it'll be forest land and grazing land, or it just means, as the Radak says, that it will be as if it's like that. We'll be living so securely and so comfortably that we don't have to worry about things like that. That would be another way of reading it. Pasuk Tetvav. This is the Navi speaking before in the Shem Hashem, that at that time Hashem is going to show us Nifla'ot. So that is a prediction that I'm not sure that we would think has come true yet, or has begun to come true yet. Correct? The implication would seem to be, although it could be that we're just not looking with clear enough eyes, the implication would seem to be that there would be miracles of such a level and such a sense of obviousness that everybody around will have to admit to them, will have to understand them, will have to accept that these are miracles that are coming from Hashem. So it's not clear to me that we've seen such miracles yet, although it could just be the fact that so many Jews have gotten out of various places of exile and have returned to the land of Israel, and hopefully more and more are coming. So it could be that that's what is being spoken about by the Navi here. But in any case, there's certainly a promise of great and miraculous events in this return. Yir'u goyim v'yevoshu, as we said before, other nation will see and will be embarrassed. Mikol givur atam yasimu yad al pe'oz nehem decharashna. They'll be embarrassed because they won't have, they'll be embarrassed at their feelings of, or despite all of their might and courage and strength, they'll watch this happening. They'll won't be able to believe it. Yelachachu afar kanakash. They will eat dirt like a snake. Yizochalei eretz yugazumi mizgiru tehem. They'll have to come out of, like the ones who crawl on the ground, they'll come out of their closed off places, but they'll be worried. They're going to be afraid of Hashem, and they're going to have fear of us. So it's not clear necessarily, I'm not sure that this is true, but it is reminiscent of the description in Bereishit, when you have the description of the whole Garden of Eden, and the Nachash is the one who leads Adam and Chava to partake of the Eitz HaDa'at. So Hashem punishes it by that you're going to crawl on your belly, right? So here it's describing these other nations who are enemies, our determined enemies, and who thought they could tell us they wouldn't have a God. They're going to turn into being like that. So it's not clear in the pasuk. It doesn't mean that we will have a permanent enmity with them? Does it mean just that they will recede in power like the Nachash, who at one time in that story seems to have had great abilities and then lost them, had the ability to communicate with people, the ability to be aware of the world, and lost them? But whatever the upshot will be of that, they will have fear of Hashem, and they will have to have fear and awe of us, because they will come to fully know that we are the people of Hashem, and that Hashem wants us to be able to have and to live at peace in our land. Psukim, now the last three psukim of Micha are much better known than the rest of the parak, because we say them in Tashlik to a certain extent, we say them as part of a Haftorah. Mikael kamocha nosei avon ve'aver al peshel de'sherit nachalato lo achzik la'ad apog yichafetz chesed. Who is a God like you who bears sin and is over al peshel, doesn't fully punish all of our transgressions, de'sherit nachalato, the Radak points out, to those who are left over. Right? By the time all this comes around, by the time all this redemption comes around, it will have been a long period of Jewish history, and that long period of Jewish history will have left many people behind. So there's not a promise that every member of the Jewish people will share in this redemption. So the She'erit Nachalato, Hashem, even they won't fully deserve what they're going to get, but Hashem will forgive the rest, as it were. Hashem will not pay attention to everything they did wrong. Lo Echzik La'ad Apo, and he will not maintain his anger forever. Ki Chafetz Chesed Hu, because Hashem is desirous of doing Chesed. Yeshuv Yirachameinu Yichbosh Avonoteinu, He will return and have compassion upon us. Yichbosh avonoteinu. So the Psikta de Rav Kahana, when it's talking about lachmei toda, it talks about kvasim or kvashim. So Beit Shammai say they were, it should be read kvashim, the name of the sheep. And the reason why you should read it as kvashim is shehin kofshim avonoteinu shel Yisrael. And then it quotes our pasuk, yishuv yirachameinu yichbosh avonoteinu. But he doesn't say no kvasim, like washing, kofsim, because they wash away the sins of the Jewish people. As you say, Yeshaya says that Hashem will wash away our sins. So that's just, a debate about the question of what do the korbanot, what kind of kapara do they provide? Do they provide a kapara of suppressing sin, or a kapara of washing away sin? So here, though, it would seem everybody agrees, Yashuv Yerachameinu will have compassion on us and suppress our sins, v'tashlich b'msulot yam kochatotam, and throw them in the water. This is why we read this during Tashlif, is because we've got this imagery of Hashem throwing away our sins into the water. So what we're being told, though, at the very end of the book of Micha, and these are the last two psukim, the very end of the book of Micha, we're being told that even at the time of the redemption, it won't be because we fully deserve it. It'll be because Hashem will reach a point where there will be a remnant left, and Hashem will suppress the rest of our sins, will decide to ignore them, because Hashem will be, as it were, impatient to give us and to return us to our nachala. And will give truth to Yaakov. So truth is an important element here, because the whole parak was about, and much of the book was about, the loss of truth and truthfulness and trustworthiness among the people. So that is a midah of Yaakov, is to be fully true and honest. That's something to think about. If you think about the story of Yaakov and Bereshit, you might want to try to figure out what the definition of emet is then, right? Because Yaakov also manages to beat back Lavan and become wealthy, even though Lavan tries to cheat him. So the definition of what it means to be true is very interesting, because truth is what's being given to Yaakov. Chesed to Avraham, and kindness to Avraham. Hashenishbat lavotin, where you swore to our forefathers, which Farshim say includes Yitzchak, but I would point out that Yitzchak is not included here. The question would be why, and there are answers that have been given. We do say that Yitzchak gets the midah of pachad, of awe, proper fear of Hashem, pachad Yitzchak. But why is it not mentioned here? So that's a whole discussion you could have. There's an explanation of it in the Sefer Rokeach Siddur, but whatever the explanation is, it's not vital to hear. Here, our closer of the book of Micha is that Hashem should give these midot to these of our forefathers, and then fulfill the promises and the oaths that were made to them, mimei kedem, from times gone by. So that is the conclusion of the book of Micha. It ends on a note of recognition that there is a promise of a future redemption. Once the promise has been made, it will certainly come true, and it only leads to us to figure out when and how we'll finally see that fullest redemption and get away from the kinds of sins that Micha stresses, in particular those sins where we lose our sense of trustworthiness and faithfulness to those around us. Have a great day. This is Gideon Rothstein. This has been the Book of Micha in the OU's Da Nach Yomi Project. We'll see you in the next Sefer. Bye.